They said, so Chris, what do you think the house will sell for? And I didn't get the answer ahead of time. And so I said my number, and literally they were both leaning forward. They're laughing, moving around, everything like that. And almost like synchronized swimmers, I said the number and I saw both of them lean back against the couch, cross their legs, and then cross their arms. Literally like synchronized swimmers when I said the number. And I just thought to myself, that looks bad. I might as well have just, you know, told them that their firstborn child is ugly, right?
Welcome to Uncommon Real Estate, where it's all about finding creative solutions for real estate agents and investors. In exclusive mastermind conversations with some of the brightest minds in real estate, you'll learn how to earn an extra six figures a year. Don't follow the herd. Be uncommon. Here are your hosts, multi-millionaire real estate agent and investor, Chris Craddock and Jeff Seyfried.
Okay, welcome to another episode of the Uncommon Real Estate Podcast, where we are here to help agents live uncommon, to be uncommon in what they are doing in their job, their career with buyers and sellers, to make a fortune and then take that money, parlay that into using it, because you have, like, literally, you would go to jail if you were an insider trader and you worked in the stock market. But we work in real estate and we have insider trading that we can do right here, and we would not go to jail. You got to disclose it as an agent, but you will not go to jail. You actually will make lots and lots of money because of the insider information that you have. So we learn how to make a lot of money in real estate, learn how to buy real estate, learn how to create wealth. And wealth is described as your money working harder than you do. Wealth happens. We get into real estate for freedom, flexibility, and financial gain. You can usually pick two of those at the beginning in order to, and then if you want to give up one of those, then you can move forward to the other ones. And then you can eventually get all of them through becoming wealthy through real estate. So with that said, I'm excited to share with you guys what is one of my favorite topics in the world, which is reading body language, understanding body language, understanding how people are screaming to you. People are always talking to you in ways that you don't understand and are missing if you're not reading their body language. So with that said, body language. All right. So with the body language piece here, how does this help us with buyers and sellers? So the first thing that I want to talk about is a story about what happened with a buyer that was sitting right here in this room years ago. It was a friend of mine, two friends of mine, and they were looking to buy years ago. I think I was like 2 years into real estate. I was in the process of reading a body language book. And so I was more attuned to what was going on. And we're sitting here. It seemed like a no-brainer for them to buy a property. And as we're talking, the wife was just playing with her necklace like crazy, right? And you'd normally think, okay, there's just some pent-up nervous energy. It's a big decision, all of that. But what I read was that when you see women grabbing their neck, and I know for those that are not on video that are just listening, I'm just going to share what I'm doing. I'm taking my hand and I'm grabbing my neck and I'm rubbing the nape of my neck, right? So when you see women grab their neck and rub the nape of their neck or play with their necklace, that those two things mean that there is something going on, some issue, something they're massively uncomfortable about, right? And we should not wave it off and just say, it's a big decision, so that must be what they're uncomfortable about. What we should be doing is saying, okay, I need to ask more questions. Because if all leadership, all sales is leadership, then to lead people is to help them see what they're not seeing themselves, right? And so I just asked a question. I just stopped talking about what we were going to buy because it was a no-brainer. Like, they wanted to buy, but she was just sitting here playing with her necklace the whole time. And so I just stopped and I said, hey, I feel like there may be something that's going on that you're thinking about that, you know, that you haven't said. Do you mind just sharing with me? Is there anything going on that we should talk about? And she just stops and she's like, okay, so I didn't want to share this because I think I'm being a little crazy here. And that's the whole thing, is people feel like they're being crazy when they share what they're thinking. But if they don't share what they're thinking, what happens is it creates fear, right? So ignorance creates fear. And by ignorance, I don't mean to say she's an ignorant person. Ignorance means without, it's literally the Latin word meaning without knowledge, right? She doesn't have knowledge of what's coming. Therefore, we couldn't talk about it, which created fear. And so she's sitting there the whole time with massive fear and anxiety playing with her. And her tell was like, literally what now I know is she's sitting there screaming to me, Chris, I'm anxious. I'm fearful. And that's what her, when grabbing her necklace and playing with it, she is screaming to me that she's fearful about something. And so if I'm a good salesperson, AKA a good leader, I'm going to ask questions so that we can alleviate that fear, right? Bring down the fear. And so I just said, so what's going on? And she just blurted out. She started going on because they were talking about becoming missionaries in Cambodia, right? They were going to go overseas and be missionaries. But that was a couple of years down the road. And she was just like, man, how am I going to manage a house if I'm in a country that I doubt I'm going to have very good cell service? I doubt I'm going to have very good Wi-Fi. I doubt I'm going to have very good access. And so I'm either going to have to sell this house, and what happens if the market crashes and I can't sell it, I can't get my money back, or I'm overseas and I'm just stuck there and the HVAC goes out and I'm not making much money just all of these things. So I was just able to say, all right, let's just stop for a second and let's look at all of these point by point. The first thing, and then I was able to just talk about, okay, so we get a management company. Okay, we get a fund where the management company, if they need to, somebody we trust, if they need to spend money on an HVAC, then they have that. We get a home warranty so that money is mitigated. We, all of these different things that we could go through so that she felt comfortable, right? So that was the big key right there, was helping her feel comfortable. But she was screaming to me. She was screaming, I feel uncomfortable, by grabbing her, by rubbing her necklace, right? Grabbing the necklace and just playing with it, right? So that's one. Number two, we also talked about grabbing the nape of the neck, right? If women are not wearing necklaces, a lot of times they'll grab their neck. The interesting thing is, it also is true of men as well, but they say that women, it's more of a woman's tell than a man's tell, but sometimes it's a man's tell. And it was funny because I was talking about body language, and one of the guys on our team was asking a question on one of the off mornings. We do a team training every morning, and on one of the off mornings, and said something like, hey, so do you know what Chris Craddock does every time he's about to, and I forget what he said, but I didn't know what he was asking and what he was saying. And I ended up grabbing my neck and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm talking about body language. And I realized I'm grabbing my own neck. So we also realized that we have our own tells. If you've watched the movie Rounders, right? Which I love that movie. John Malkovich has the worst Russian accent you'll ever hear in your life. But on the movie Rounders, it was interesting because he had his tell. All people at a poker table have their tell. We all have tells. Sometimes our tells are smaller than others. Sometimes they're bigger than others, but everybody has their tell. And if you realize that as you're sitting there talking to people, they have their tell, she have her tell, I'm uncomfortable, then you can be a good leader and talk through it. All right. So next, what are things that men do when they are feeling uncomfortable? Here's a couple. And now anybody that watches this video, every once in a while, you'll see if I'm getting like blown up by texts or other things while we're on here, I'll probably rub my fingers through my hair like this or the other. And again, if you're listening, I just took my hand, just rubbed my fingers through my hair, and that was it. So that's one of the ways that men feel uncomfortable. And that's a tell for men. And again, women will do that too. Everybody will do both. The other one is when men put their hands on their quads and rub their quads. That's another one that makes people feel, that's a tell that men are feeling uncomfortable. Again, it goes both sexes, but it tends to be more one than the other. So just be aware of that. So when you see a man rubbing his fingers through his hair, that's a sign that he's feeling uncomfortable. When you see him start rubbing his quads, that's a sign he's feeling uncomfortable, and it's worth asking questions about it. Now, a sign of authority where a man feels like solidly in control, in a good place, and we want that to happen, but as a leader, you want to be leading the conversation. So I just had a conversation with one of my agents yesterday. She was allowing her clients to run the whole conversation, right? Like they were in charge. They were the ones in charge of everything. And so I was like, you need to be leading this, right? You don't let them say, this is what I want. This is what I need you to get. You need to say, okay, we can do that, but here are the consequences of underpricing or asking for too much. And this is what will happen. So anyway, those are some of the things there that we need to understand. So people will show, here's their tell, is that they will put their arms up on a chair, put their arms up, or they will put their hands in their pockets with their thumbs out, which says, I feel like I'm in control, I'm confident. And if you ever heard the phrase peacocking, they're peacocking, they're raising their feathers, they're in charge, they're in control, they're all of the different things there. And maybe they feel uncomfortable and they're trying to say, hey, I'm peacocking, back off, I'm the man, I'm in charge, whatever it is. But just know that is one of those things where look to try to say, hey, I'm in control. And women do it too, but that's more of a man thing. All right. So next, what are things that make people trust us more? And what are things that make people trust us less? So there was a study done with jurors, right? And so anytime you see somebody pointing a finger, the jurors would trust that attorney way less, right? Don't ever point a finger or you'll get trusted less. The other thing is when you're there with people, if you want to say, hey, what do you think about this open-handed, open, don't point the finger, have your hand open. What do you think about this chandelier? Whatever it is. Otherwise, even when you're not pointing at people, they don't like pointed fingers. Here's two other things. And actually, I just did one of them. Never interlace fingers. I don't know why this is true, but juries would think when they see people with interlaced fingers, tended to trust that person less. Put your hands on top of each other, put your hands just down, just don't interlace fingers. The other thing that makes somebody seem untrustworthy is when people put their hands under the table, right? So people not being able to see hands make people feel uncomfortable. So put your hands on the table so that your sellers or buyers see your hands. They feel more comfortable. They feel like you're not hiding anything. It relaxes the anxiety, and then you'll see less necklace grabbing, right? So those are some of the things that you'll see immediately. So when you're walking around a house with somebody, you point with, you show with an open hand, you sit down, you never interlace fingers, and you keep your hands on top of the desk. Now, here's the other thing, power stance that makes you look and seem like you're in control, a finger on the chin, finger, any of these, like your hand on your chin or finger on the chin, anything where your hand is making you a more powerful statue. Think of like the bent over statue of the thinking man, right? Like any of that stuff, a closed fist with your chin on it, all of that gives you your posturing power and strength, right? And that's what, I mean, let me ask this question. How many sellers or buyers want to say, man, I'm entrusting my biggest asset to somebody that is a milquetoast, right? Somebody that has no strength. They're just a big old weenie and says, oh man, gosh darn it, I hope I can do it for you. Nobody wants that. They want somebody that's strong and confident and knows that they're going to get it done, right? So that's important. And even if you're dealing with distressed sellers and you're buying with a cash offer, they want to know that they can trust you, right? They want to know, and they're going to, just the way life works is if you seem soft, they're going to want to take advantage of it. It just is a truth in life. So you don't want that. You don't want people to read you as soft. You want people to read you as strong, which is why it's just massively important for you to show up big, chest back, shoulders back, chest out, chin up, right? Which is one of the things that you see in sports teams, right? What do they say? Get your head up. Because when the head is down, everything inside you, you're physiologically saying to the world, man, I don't believe that we can do this. I don't think that we've got a shot here. And we don't want to say that to the world. Next, here is one that, oh man, I'm telling you, is going to just open your eyes to a lot of things, which in my opinion is, oh man, I feel like the Wizard of Oz seen behind the curtain. I have a love-hate relationship with this one. So when it's not cold outside, so there's one caveat, when it's cold, this may not be a good thing to gauge, right? Because when it's cold, people will do this. But when it's not cold outside, if you see somebody ball up their fists and put their hands in their pockets all the way in, no thumb out, no partially in, anything like that, but their hands go all the way in their pocket, it shows that they're insecure. Okay, so here's one of those things that has been tough for me is when, like, even at church, right? I'll go to church and I'll see the pastor, he's about to make a point, and I see him put both of his hands all the way in his pockets. And it's so hard because now you see behind the curtain. I'll lean over to my wife and I'll say, he's insecure about what he's saying. I don't know that he necessarily believes 100% what he's saying here. So it's those things where you realize that when somebody does that, they are screaming to you. They're saying, hey, Chris, I don't know that what I'm saying is true, or man, I'm just not sure about this. So what does that mean? When you're dealing with a buyer and they're insecure, a good leader will ask questions and help them figure out where do they have ignorance and how can you help them solve that. And when you're dealing with a seller, if they're insecure, it means it's going to be unlikely that they're going to sign with you because of the fact that you have not answered questions that they need answered, right? There's some sort of ignorance there and you have not answered it. So they're probably going to bring in other people until those questions can be answered. Maybe those questions are, oh, is your commission too high? Is your commission too low? Are you the right person to get this? Are you going to bring the buyers? Do you understand my house? Do you love my house? All of these different questions that people will ask. I've seen that when you're with a seller and they put their hands in their pockets. And because our team does a lot of distressed properties, like beat up distressed properties, sometimes people will talk really bad about those properties. And as an agent, one of the places where I've learned my lesson is I think about my brother and sister when I was in elementary school, right? I beat up both my brother and sister, right? Like I was just a jerk to them, right? When I was like 6 or 8 years old, right? I was a jerk, but I'll tell you what, and I would be mean to him, just a terrible person, right? As a little kid, terrible. Charles Barkley, terrible, just terrible, which that accent was terrible. But I would be terrible to them. But if anybody else said mean things or laid a finger on my brother or sister, man, like I was going to pound them. They were going to receive the wrath of it. Was bad. I will not let somebody else talk bad or lay a finger on my little brother, my little sister. But I'll do it. And so that was how I was. That's how people are with their houses too. I found there were a couple of times where people's houses were just beat up. I had no doubt that we'd be able to sell those houses, but they would talk bad. They're like, oh, it's just so beat up. It's so beat up. And then I would just try to mirror and match, say, yeah, it's really beat up. It's really beat up. And then I find out like their hands go in their pockets. And then I find out that they go with somebody else that quote loves that house, right? That is going to be a good champion for that house. And when I was mirroring and matching and they were feeling insecure, what they were looking for was a leader who says, you know what? No big deal. We're going to get this sold. Somebody is going to want this house. Maybe there's a couple of things that need to be updated, but you know what? This house has got great bones and somebody's going to want it. And as soon as you treat it like that, all of a sudden you understand that people are going to tell you when they're worried or insecure or nervous about stuff. And so I see some folks raising hands on the Zoom. So if you have any questions, post them in the chat and I'll definitely get to it. So if anybody is here live with us, happy to answer any questions in the chat on any of these. So those are all really important things for us to understand and realize is that people are always communicating to us. And most of the time, the way that they're communicating the loudest are not through what they're saying, right? And so just think about a dog, right? My dog, he's an old man now, but I've got this massive German Shepherd. He's a 125-pound German Shepherd. So literally he was like a mini horse. And so he would put his head up and grab something off the table every once in a while. And I still remember when my favorite steak in the world is a drunken ribeye steak from a place called the Great American Restaurants, right? And I had this drunken ribeye, and for whatever reason, I had to leave early. And so I was just like, I boxed it up and I was like, man, lunch tomorrow is going to be amazing. And I had it, I microwaved it, which you shouldn't re-microwave steak, but okay, judge me. I put it on the table. I got a phone call. I picked up the phone. I went in the other room. I came back and that steak was gone and the dog was on the ground. Like literally, I was like, Diesel, his name is Diesel. And literally immediately he sees me. He just inhaled the steak before I saw it. He sees me. And what he does is literally rolls onto his back with his tail between his legs. He knew he did bad. He was yelling to me, I'm sorry. I don't know how sorry he really was. I think he just didn't want to get put in his kennel or whatever. But he's like, I'm sorry. You know, but he was yelling to me what he was thinking. And that's the reality is people, when you're working with buyers or sellers, like they may not be as loud at what they're saying. They may not roll onto their back and in the fetal position, but they will tell you how they're feeling with everything that they are. Last thing I'm going to say on this, and this was really powerful. And this is one of the reasons why I learned that if you're ever going on a listing appointment, I'm just going to say this to you. If you're ever going on a listing appointment and you don't know what the seller wants before you go, like price-wise, I'm telling you, you deserve to lose that listing appointment, like straight up. And you may argue with me and everything else, and that's fine. We can disagree. Good people can disagree. But I believe with all of my being, you do not deserve to win that listing appointment if you don't know before you've gone in what they want for their house. And I learned this one time when I was... one of my agents asked me to come with them and help them. They were new. They'd never done a listing before. And so we go in and we're talking. Everything's great. They're leaning forward. They're laughing. I'm laughing. It's all great. And then they said, so Chris, what do you think the house will sell for? And I didn't ask ahead of time, right? I didn't get the answer ahead of time. And so I said my number and literally they were both leaning forward. They're laughing, moving around, everything like that. And almost like synchronized swimmers, I said the number and I saw both of them lean back against the couch, cross their legs, and then cross their arms. Like literally like synchronized swimmers when I said the number. And I just thought to myself, that looks bad. I might as well have just, you know, told them that their firstborn child is ugly. Right? Because what I just did made them react like crazy in a way that I didn't want them to react. So they were screaming out to me. And for the record, what happened was they thought it would go for more. I didn't know ahead of time what they wanted. And so when I said my number, they felt like I didn't get them. I didn't understand the value of their house, that their land was a little bit different than other people's land, like all of the different things. Versus if I would have known what they wanted, I would have been able to walk them through, show them the comps, said, okay, let's look at the bathroom of this house that sold for this much. Let's look at the kitchen of this house. Let's look at the flooring of this house. Let's look at the land of this house. Now, what is better here? What is better here? What is better here? All of the different things where I get them to self-discover versus me telling them the answer to it. And I'll tell you, as soon as I told them, they thought that I didn't know what I was talking about. We went from having great rapport to instantly, like I broke rapport like crazy. It was like, I just cussed them out. So that was one of those things that were just so powerful. And I'll tell you, we're almost done. So I'll give you just one little tool on this. I know this is about body language and not about knowing the numbers for listening, but I'll just give you one little tool that works is you ask the question. And if they come back and say, you tell me you're the professional, I really don't know. One, that's bogus. If you offered them $10,000 for their house, they would say it's too little. They know. Right. And I just had an agent on my team that kept saying, I don't know. And I told her, just do what we always talk about. So you take Zillow or Redfin or realtor.com, right? Because everybody, if they're pissed off, you want them not to be pissed off at you. They will shoot the messenger, right? You want them to be pissed off at somebody else, a third party. And so I always say, I make this joke about Zillow's estimates. I always say, Zestimates are oftentimes Zesta wrong, right? It's a stupid joke, but it just breaks the ice a little bit. And it also says, hey, look, I'm not saying this is right, but if it's wrong, then you can blame Zillow, don't blame me. And I see Zestimates are oftentimes Zesta wrong, But Zillow says your house is worth $453. Does that sound like it's right or wrong to you? And then they'll immediately say, oh, I thought that's a little low, or I thought that's a little high. And they'll tell you exactly what they thought. They all think something. Don't believe that they didn't. But try to get them to answer first. And if they don't, you just get a third party to do it, because then you can blame the third party. And those people would have loved me if I would have said that number and it just said, hey, this is what Zillow says. What do you think about Zillow? They would have said, hey, I think Zillow's wrong because of this and this. And then we get to have the conversation instead of them saying, oh, you're just an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Then I don't get to have a conversation because in their mind, I'm no longer an expert. I'm just a guy that doesn't know what he's talking about because their home is special. Right. So that's that whole idea there. But they yelled to me. They said, they literally yelled to me, Chris, you're an idiot. As soon as they both leaned back, crossed their legs and crossed their arms. So with that said, I want to let everybody know, if anybody wants to get in touch with me personally, I'd love to communicate with anybody listening to this. Just hit me up on my Instagram at CradRock. Please give us an honest review, and any way that I can, like in wherever you're listening, give us an honest review, and anything I can do to bring on better guests, different guests, talk about anything you care about, let me know. Literally, I've got friends of mine that are experts at every single topic in the world. I would love to bring them on. And then finally, last thing I'm throwing out there, I don't throw it out all the time, but we're working on ways that we can partner with agents. We've got three ways that we partner with agents anywhere. So if you're looking at ways to partner and get into business with some really different folks, I would love to partner with you, show you how we at Redux are partnering with people all across the country. So with that said, thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next week. Let's go get it.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Uncommon Real Estate. Subscribe to the podcast to stay up to date with the latest mastermind conversations from Chris, Jeff, and other uncommon real estate industry leaders. If you love this podcast, please write us a review. And to fast track your real estate career, go to chriscraddock.com.